Okay, take your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I appreciate Brother Nathan bearing his heart, and I'm grateful we just had a small part encouraging a man of God to come here to this ministry. And it's obvious God's blessing your work, and we trust it will continue to grow. As you go to 1 Thessalonians this morning, I want to bring a message on the gospel. The gospel means the good news of God. Now, you know something? There's not much good news on television. When I go to Michigan for revival meetings, I always get depressed when I go to Michigan. I'll turn the radio or TV on, and they'll say, "We had 20 murders last night. We had 15 cars that were broken in." And I mean, it's just horrific, the crime in that area. You know, when you think of all the things that's going on around the world, there's not much good news. But thank God, you turn to the Bible, you find the gospel, the good news. And I want to bring a message on the gospel from 1 Thessalonians. Would you all stand, okay? And look at verse 5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." Our dear Father, today, we ask that you would quieten the heart of those in this room. And give us your help, Lord, to make known the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit be our guide, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I must give you the background material before you ever can get to verse 5. You see, the Apostle Paul went to a city called Thessalonica, a seaport city known for two things. One, their idolatry. They worship many false gods. Two, their immorality. A wicked, immoral lifestyle pervaded. And Paul goes in that environment and he brought the gospel. And Paul showed and laid the foundation of what the gospel is. He first of all calls it the gospel of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. And Paul used that phrase, the gospel of God, to show you that God is the author. This was not put together by committee. This came from the very being of God himself. Then Paul called it the gospel of Christ in chapter 3 and verse 2. And Paul uses that phrase, the gospel of Christ, to show you that Christ is the object. Christ is the focus. Galatians 6:14, Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So Paul showed it's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Christ. But then he showed the very makeup of the gospel, what it consists of. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4, he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how the Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose the third day according to the Scriptures." So there's the very heart, the very makeup of the gospel. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ arose from the grave. And as Paul brought this wonderful message to these people, they responded. They came to Jesus Christ, recognizing he's the one who died for their sins, that he was the one who arose from the grave. And then, as he laid the foundation, he then showed the divine formula of how the gospel goes out. The good news of God. And how does it go? Well, look at verse 5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power." Stop with the word power right there, please. Look at me. The word power here is the Greek word dunamis or dunamos, which means equivalent to our English word of dynamite. My dad's a coal miner for 40 years. My dad knew how to use dynamite. We dug a basement under our home in Arford using dynamites. But you've got to know how to use it. We would dig trenches. I mean, ground hard as stone. We'd take an auger, make a deep hole. My dad wouldn't put a hole stick in there. We still wanted the house to stand. But Dad would cut off a piece like that. He put the dynamite caps down there. He would make the hole good and tight. We'd go outside. My mother's screaming, "Don't do it, Mike. You're going to blow the house away." My dad said, "I know what I'm doing." And you know what, congregation? That dynamite would go off. And that ground that was hard like stone, after the dynamite smoke cleared, you could go down there, pick it up. It'd go through your fingers like sand. You know why? Dynamite has great power. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if God ever saves you, sir, look at me. If God ever saves you, you are not saved because of some preacher. His intellect, his charisma, his speaking ability. No, you are saved by the dunamis, the power of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And my friend, the Bible tells you in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth." But also the Word of God tells you, second of all, how the gospel goes out. Look back at verse 5. "For our gospel came not unto you inward only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." Now look at me, because this is very, very crucial. If I took a stick of dynamite and I lit it and threw it out in the field, it'd make a big noise. It would not do much damage. You see, dynamite must be placed at the strategic location to do its greatest work. Whenever the gospel goes out, it's always directed by the Holy Spirit. In John 16:8, Christ spoke of the Holy Spirit and said, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgments." You can't know what sin is, buddy, apart from the Holy Spirit. Hey, lady, you'll never know what sin is apart from the Holy Spirit. He's the one that convicts you that you're a sinner, that you're bound for hell. But God loves you and gave Christ, who died and rose from the grave, and you have to come to him. I was preaching in Michigan several years ago, and a man was invited by his wife to come to the meeting. And he came one night. And he got so mad at me. When he walked out of the church and got in the car, he told his wife these exact words: "I would never go back and hear that man preach as long as I live." How do I know? Because that night she came crying to me and said, "My husband cussed you out. He called you every name in the book. And he told me he'd never come and hear you preach again as long as he lives." And you know something that's always encouraging to an evangelist to hear? So what could I say? I said, "Dear lady," I said, "I'll just pray for your husband." Did he come back? No. But 3 years later, I was back in the same church. And the church had around 6 or 7 steps to go to get in the auditorium. So I'm climbing up the steps, and I see a man on the top of the steps. When I got up there, he stopped me and said, "Are you Jerry Savinsky?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "3 years ago, my husband invited me, my wife invited me to come and hear you preach. I heard you preach. I got so mad at you. I cussed you everything I could cuss. I told my wife I'd never go back and hear you preaching as long as I live, and I didn't come back. But I've been waiting for 3 years to see you. Because shortly after you left, I could never get the message out of my heart that Christ dying for my sins and Christ could give me life everlasting. And I received Christ as my Savior shortly after you left. I've been waiting for 3 years to tell you I got saved because you preached the Word of God." You know what that is, congregation? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And the gospel goes in power and in the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 5 again, last of all. "And in much assurance." The Bible gives you assurance, not insurance. By the way, nothing wrong with insurance. If anyone sells insurance, God bless you. I support you. I have a truck out there. Thank God I have my automobile insurance. I got a home in South Carolina. I've got insurance. I have a plan, health plan. I believe in insurance. Insurance only covers this life. Assurance covers everlasting life. And you know what? When God saves you, He gives you everlasting life in much assurance. Jesus said in John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I am thankful today. The gospel, this powerful message, is directed by the Holy Ghost and climaxes with a person knowing when they leave this earth, they know they're going to go to heaven. 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And my friend, that is the divine formula of how the gospel goes out. But then, Paul, last of all, showed the fruit of the gospel. You see, whenever this message goes out and a person comes to Christ, there will always be the genuine fruit of the power of the gospel. And what is it? Look at verse 6. "And you became followers of us and of the Lord." Stop right there. That word "followers" in the Greek language means imitators. In other words, the Word of God says, one of the fruit of the gospel, whenever God saves you, you become a follower of the things of God. There now becomes a vertical relationship. Before God saved me, I had no use for the Bible. I had no use for the things of God. And neither did my dad or my dear mom. And we got saved. We lived the farthest in the country. The road ends right in front of my house. Guess who were the first ones always in church? The Savinsky family. Who were the last to leave? The Savinsky family. My mother and dad, myself, we couldn't get enough of the Word of God. There was this area we craved, we wanted, we thirsted for the Bible. You see, I don't have that because you're not saved. I'm going to tell you right to your face, whenever God saves you, there'll become a vertical relationship. You can't do it. That's because of Christ. Christ does it when God saves you. And your life will have a vertical relationship. They became followers of the Lord. But second of all, look at verse 7. "So that you were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Second of all, their lives now were examples to all that believe. You see, whenever God saves you, the Bible says there's now a horizontal impact. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Your life now has this horizontal impact. Whenever God saves you, people recognize there's something different about your life. You know something? When Christ saved me, my life was drastically transformed by the power of Christ. If my mother and dad were alive and they were sitting on the front row, well, I'm about to tell you, they would jump up and they would say amen. And here it is. Before God saved me, I got more beatings than both of my brothers combined together. Wonderful track record I had. As a matter of fact, my mother and dad were in a meeting here in West Virginia. They were on the second row. And I said, "Before God saved me, congregation, I got more beatings than both of my brothers combined together." And I said, "If you don't believe that, you can ask my mother and dad here at the close of the meeting." At the close of that service, a couple walked up to my mom and my dad And they said, now Jerry wasn't as bad as he makes out he was he? And you'd have thought my parents had rehearsed this because they both said together, lady, he was a lot worse. Christ changed me. My life now became an example. You know something, whenever God saves you, your life now makes an impact. People notice there's a change in your life. And these people who worship idols, involved in immorality, no longer. Why? Their life became an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. But third of all, look at verse 9, latter part. How you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Third of all, look here. Their lives now turned to serve the living and the true God. You know, it's amazing when God saves a person, how things he loved and craves, he no longer has a desire for those things. That's what salvation does through Christ. I had a meeting in Manitou Beach many years ago. I met a man who owned a resort store up there who got saved. I had a lovely meal in his home one day, and this man told me the story. He said, you know, Jerry, I own this resort store in Manitou Beach. That's a hotbed for tourism up there. Anyhow, he said, you know, when I got saved, I had 5,000 bottles of beer, whiskey, and wine. And I went to the pastor and I said, Pastor, now that I'm saved, I've got these 5,000 bottles of beer and wine and whiskey. I'd like to sell all the beer, the whiskey, and the wine and give the money to the church. Would that be okay? And the pastor said, no, that would not be okay. He said, why? And the man of God said in Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Habakkuk 2:15 says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. And so this man said to the pastor, what am I supposed to do with all this stuff? Wise pastor, he said, you pray about it, and I guarantee you God will show you what you ought to do. So he prayed about it. 2 weeks later, he called pastor up at 3 o'clock in the morning. The pastor told me personally, he said, Jerry, I thought someone had died. I really did. The man called him and said, pastor, he said, what is it, brother? What is it? He said, pastor, I'm calling you to let you know my wife and I just finished pouring bottle number 5,000 down the sink. Brother, I guarantee you, the rats were whistling Dixie backwards that night. You know what that man told me? He said these exact words. He said, you know, Jerry, if I had it to do it over again, I would still pour all 5,000 bottles down the drain. You cannot believe how God's blessed me. You know what, child of God, whenever a person does right, God will bless you abundantly. And the gospel always produces fruits, a vertical relationship, a horizontal example. He turned some things for one reason, to serve the living and the true God. Have you come to the gospel, lady? Man, look at me. Have you ever gone and let Christ save you? If not, when you come to him, he'll do the same in your life as you did for Jerry Savinsky or Nathan Barker or anybody else in this room. You've got to come to him. And only Christ can save you, because this is the powerful message of God. The death, the burial, the resurrection. The gospel of God. This is God's message. The gospel of Christ. Christ is the focus. And you've got to come to him. Let's bow our heads and pray, please.